Welcome back. In the beginning, it is said there was sound. It's been used throughout history as a transformational tool in ceremonies, celebrations, and even in times of war. It can soothe us in the form of a gentle rain or create anxiety invoked by blaring sirens passing by. Will sound, vibration, and frequency be the medicine of the future? Going Om is a documentary film that explores the secrets of sound health. That conversation is straight ahead when Coast to Coast AM continues. Christina Grozek's background is an eclectic one, having worked as a coordinator in the media production industry, serving as a public speaker, organizing special events, teaching at Kent State University, and recently producing a wellness documentary titled Going Om. Her many career paths have led her to establishing a wellness practice as a certified vibrational sound therapist, integrated health coach, yoga and meditation teacher, polarity practitioner, energy balancing guide, past life regressionist, and Reiki master. Christina Grozek, welcome to Coast AM. How are you?
Hi, Richard. I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. When I think of sound, for some reason, the first thing that comes to mind, because I love music, I think of music. And one of the things I've always wondered is, when I hear a particular piece of music, it takes me to a very precise moment in my life. And I think most of us have that feeling. You know, we talk about music as being the soundtracks of our lives. But what is it about music that evokes memory in such a powerful way?
You know, I think that's a great question, and I totally resonate with what you're saying. For me, music has also been part of my timeline. Like, I can't tell you any years things have happened. Well, maybe a few years here and there, but mostly the sound, the music that was prevalent in my life at that time. So I think music moves us in a way that it touches the soul, it touches those spaces, and it helps us. I mean, we could be, like, for example, for the documentary that we just did, we met a gentleman, John Neblett, out of Virginia, and he went for a nap, and after he got up from the nap, like, he was completely deaf. So he went through the process of having a cochlear implant, and he was able to bring back about 40% of the hearing that he had, and his passion. He told us he had two passions in his life. One was his wife, and the second was opera. And he would just sit there and listen to opera every night. And when he had the cochlear implant, he would hear about 40%, like I said, but his memory filled in the rest. So it's something that I think becomes a part of us. It's maybe the reason why, you know, over 4 years after the death of Elvis, over 600,000 fans from all over the world still gather there, you know, before COVID, obviously. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I mean, in 2019, they have had over 500,000 visitors from all over. There's something about music that just touches us in a level, and it moves us, like, emotionally, right? So I don't think people go to the Rock Hall because, you know, it's that T-shirt, just a T-shirt that somebody wore, or, you know, a piece of paper that somebody signed. It's somebody that put together something that was very meaningful for them.
So that emotional, psychological effect and physical, as we'll discover and discuss, has to do, obviously, with more than words on a page or musical notes on a page. Is it more elemental than that? Is it literally the vibration that is affecting us at emotional level, even if we're not conscious of it?
I believe it is. I do. I believe, you know, I mean, if you think about how we use sound, how do we use sound? You know, we use sound at sporting events. We use sound for ceremonies, for weddings, for times of war and traditions. I mean, can you imagine going, and I think we saw this during COVID, can you imagine going to a sporting event and there are no songs playing? There isn't a drummer beating the drum. There aren't crowds cheering. You know, if we were gathered in person at a sporting event or some kind of event where typically there would be cheering, and all of a sudden we just watch watch this event in silence. What a different experience that would be, right? So I think it moves us in a way because it's energy, it's vibration, it's frequency. And I think Nikola Tesla said it really well when he said, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Because at the end of it, I mean, it's all energy. We are all energetic beings. So, you know, we have our individual bodies, right, where everything is connected inside of us. And it's all energy. Energy's flowing through our systems, the prana, the chi, whatever you'd like to refer to it as. We all have an energy. We have a vibration. We have a frequency. And then outside of us, we connect with the consciousness, the greater energy that comprises all of us in the world that we live in. So I think it's really about energy is what we're, at the end of the day, talking about. So the work that I do, the integrated work, you know, people will ask me like, well, you know, I saw that you do this, or, you know, I heard you do this, but what is that? And really at the end of the day, it's integrated energy work. So it's integrated vibrational energy work. So when we think of energy and we think of frequency, you know, think of all these other things that surround us in our everyday life that maybe we don't consider how they're impacting us. So things like colors, you know, colors have a wavelength to them and a hertz assigned to them. You know, the foods that we eat have an energetic value to them. You know, so there's different ways that we can measure these things. You know, with food, for example, we can look at it and, you know, if we examine Carillion photography, you know, and you take something that's processed versus something that is in its whole form, the energetic value around it is going to pair very differently. It's almost like if anyone's ever seen an aura photo. It's the same kind of concept with the food. So in the aura photo, it captures the magnetic field around us, that energetic body that we all have around us.
So you make the point in the documentary film, Going Om, the quantum mechanics basically suggests that everything is made of the same stuff, but it all just manifests differently because of different vibratory rates. So everything is vibration. Everything really is sound. Does that mean that everything is music?
I guess you could put it in terms of everything has some kind of symphony to it. I think you could say that, I mean, we, even our voices and our words, right? There's something about that where you could equate that to music. So it's some kind of sound, but then there's also those aspects, you know, in the sound vibrational community, we like to say your energy speaks before you say a word, right? So if you've ever walked into a room and all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know, it feels really comfy in this room. There's something very welcoming about it. Or maybe you go into a place and you're like, you know what, I am not feeling comfortable. All of a sudden, I feel very anxious. Or perhaps it's a person you encounter. And the person you encounter, you're very drawn to them. And you're like, oh, you know, I want to get to know this person. I don't know why, but there's something about them that just really draws me into them. Or it can work on the opposite side of it, where maybe you meet somebody and you're like, you know what, there's something about this person that's unsettling to me. So our energy says a lot about us. So, you know, in going back to your question about is it all music, I mean, I think it could be perceived as music, but then there's that spectrum where we don't hear certain things that are around us. And just because we don't hear them doesn't mean that there's not some kind of wave, you know, coming at us. So I always like to look at animals because I think animals are very in tune with vibration and what's going on around, you know, them. So for instance, the 2004 tsunami in the Indian Ocean, you know, over 200,000 people died. And they didn't find a lot of animal bodies in that. And reports had said that a lot of the animals sought higher ground before the tsunami had hit. And I think we've seen those reports pop up before natural disasters in other places, that the animals, you know, were acting erratically or they moved where they were. So I think there's something that, you know, just because we can't hear it or see it or taste it or smell it doesn't mean that it's not there. It just means that we've been programmed in a way, or we hear something in a way that maybe this is our range of what we have been programmed to understand or see or hear or taste or touch. But I think I wouldn't rule out any other senses just because we're not experiencing them, that they don't exist, right?
Right. 100%. Christina Grozek is a certified vibrational sound therapist and the producer of a new documentary called Going Ohm. It's a bit of a kind of a road picture because you you mentioned animals. You go to an animal or an elephant sanctuary in Thailand and a horse ranch in Illinois. But one of the first stops in the film that you make is an organ manufacturer who builds these incredible pipe organs for big churches, cathedrals, little tiny country churches. And there's a line that he says in the film about the organ. It's the most powerful thing ever made by human hands that doesn't explode. Just talk to me a little bit about the organ.
Yeah, I mean, I unfortunately can't go too far into the organ, but I can go into the interview with Chris Bono from Taylor and Booty. That's where we filmed that. And, you know, it was such a treat to be able to be there and see the process that the organ goes through and the different pipes that they put together and the process of the pipes. So when you think in terms of our musical abilities, you know, just like our breathing is a tool, right? That's a tool, a vibratory tool that we have, vocal toning, you know, just doing something. And, you know, it was when we thought about the film and we're like, oh, you know, what are we going to name it, right? When we talked about that, it's like, you know, something that takes us home, something that takes us home. And right away in workshops I've taught, it's always Om. So for me, the Om is going home because it's that vibratory, you know, pattern within ourselves that it just calms and settles everything down. It brings the clarity to us. It opens up these channels where we can connect with something greater than us. And I think that for me is home. It's not a structure or a building. So going back to, you know, Chris Bono and Taylor and Booty, you know, I think it's really interesting because here is this instrument they produce, right? And you have these people gathering, and when they gather and they listen and they sing, there's a certain kind of energy in that room. It creates an experience, and that's all over the world. So why would people pay so much money for this organ? And the same, I think, can be said for concerts. I mean, why would we put ourselves in the position, you know, if somebody said, hey, do you want to come here and pack in and, you know, a couple thousands of people in this really tight space and you're going to be arm to arm with someone, you're not really going to be able to move, it's going to probably get really hot because you're all going to be crammed in there and you're not going to have any place to put stuff if you brought stuff, and you're probably going to have drinks spilled on you. Like, but we pay to do this. We pay to gather in those environments, right? And I think it goes back to the music and how it moves us. Because when you're at that concert venue, when you're gathered in that space, you're usually maybe not thinking, wow, it's really hot in here. Oh, this person I don't know just bumped into me again, you know? You are most likely so in tune with the music that's being played, and then that collective celebration, because I think that collectiveness, it raises the vibration in the room. So it's just this high vibratory space that you've gathered in. So that, you know, when you look at concert tickets, I mean, I remember when I started going to concerts at a very early age, I've always been very drawn to music. And concert tickets weren't what they are now. And when you look at the prices, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, who would pay to do this? Well, of course we pay to do it because of the way it makes us feel. It makes us feel a certain way. And the same thing with the organ. When you go and you listen to the organ, right, it makes us feel a certain way. It elicits a certain kind of feeling and emotion.
I want to talk about singing bowls. You use singing bowls in sound therapy. Others do. I mentioned that elephant sanctuary in Thailand. They're actually using, well, first of all, explain what a singing bowl is, and then talk to me about how singing bowls are used to help rehabilitate elephants and other animals like horses.
Sure. So, yeah, we were at the Patara Elephant Farm in Chiang Mai in Thailand. And, you know, I was brought there to produce a series of videos for somebody else, for a group of vibrational therapists. So we were doing these different videos for them. And when I saw that the different handlers of the elephants all had singing bowls, and this is how they helped calm the elephant down and themselves. You know, the singing bowl, first of all, it's like it can be this metal bowl, and now there's crystal bowls and there's all different kinds of bowls, but it's you know, a combination of different metals, and it almost looks like something you would eat out of or serve food in, right? So it's a bowl that when you strike it, you can strike it or you can sing it, and that would be going around the rim of it. So these different handlers at the elephant farm all had these bowls, and they would do, you know, maintenance on the elephants, like tusk trimming and maintenance, nail care, eye care, with the use of the singing bowls and some kind of aromatherapy. So I understand for an elephant, an IV for an elephant takes about 8 hours from what I've been told. And it's a very, like, long process for the elephant. So there's certain signs that you can see within the elephant, like the way they drop their trunk, the lines on the forehead, the ears, that you can see they're in a relaxed state. So the bowls would bring them to this state. And when I witnessed this, I was like, wow, you know, this is, we had already started recording, but we weren't really sure where we were going with it. And in that moment, it was like, yes, we are for sure doing this. There's no going back. Like, I knew how it had changed my life. And I saw the, you know, the lives of my clients being changed. But when we saw it with elephants, it was like, yes, yes, we've got to move forward with this. Because, you know, if something that size, and, you know, they make different size singing bowls, but something that can fit in your hand, in the palm of your hand, that you can travel with. And I've traveled with one for many years. Something you can travel with, if it can impact a creature of that size, you know, what is doing that, right? What is doing that? What's bringing that creature to that state? There's something about the vibration and the sound. And there was actually a baby elephant while we were there who was so excited. And, you know, just looked at all the people and kept charging in this playful manner, like, hey, you know, check me out. And would not rest. And when someone started playing the singing bowl, the baby elephant we saw started swaying from side to side, and the eyes were kind of closing and opening, but you could tell they were getting heavy, and the baby did not want to succumb to the relaxation, and finally just laid on the ground. And that was the first time we had seen something like that, but that was when a group was playing singing bowls. So I think with the singing bowls, you know, it's a really good way to access areas that maybe if we tried it ourselves, might be harder to do. I know when I first got into this, like 15 years ago, you know, I was told by many people, I started my journey with Kundalini yoga, and I was told by many people, you know, you just need to sit and meditate. You need to sit and meditate and just, you know, suspend thought, don't think, sit there for about a half hour. And I would try and try and try. And the more I tried, the more frustrated I would get. And the more I ended up thinking about how hard I was trying, and I couldn't access that point. But what ultimately did it for me was playing the singing bowl. And I didn't realize it at first. It took me a little bit of time to realize what was happening, but I would play the singing bowl. And weeks later, what I realized is I was sleeping better, I had more clarity, and I just felt all around better. And it
all right, Christina, pardon the interruption. We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back and discuss singing bowls some more. Christina Grozic is a certified vibrational sound therapist, the producer of the film Going Om. We're talking about the healing properties of sound right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. U.S. officials are investigating an unusual outbreak of tuberculosis, infections in people who had spinal surgery. They suspect the culprit is a potentially tainted bone repair product. According to news reports, more than 100 people have been exposed to TB bacteria through this product called FiberCell during spinal surgeries that occurred this spring. According to the Washington Post, FiberCell is a putty-like substance made from human bone tissue that's being used during various orthopedic and spinal surgeries. Early this month, the maker of FiberCell, Azio Biologics, Inc., issued a recall of a single lot of the product after one hospital reported that 7 out of 23 patients who received FiberCell developed post-surgical infections, and 4 of these tested positive for TB, according to the recall notice from the Food and Drug Administration. You can read more about this important story in the In the News section up at coasttocoastam.com. And if you like what you're hearing tonight, this morning, and you want to find out more about what I do, you can go to my website, strangeplanet.ca, strangeplanet.ca. Everything is right there, strangeplanet.ca. And you can now hear my new weekday afternoon program, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, the all-new Richard Serrett Show on News Talk Saga, 960 a.m. And that can be heard across the greater Toronto area. You can stream it live on Saga, S-A-U-G-A, S-A-U-G-A, saga960am.ca, or find it on Simple Radio or tune in. And also, you can listen to my weekly syndicated program, The Conspiracy Show, on AM 740. That's Zoomer Radio in Toronto, Sunday nights at 11. And my podcast, Conspiracy Unlimited, drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe at conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com, conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com. Go to my website, strangeplanet.ca. While you're there, subscribe to my free monthly newsletter, Inner Sanctum. Again, everything is all at strangeplanet.ca. Back to more of my conversation with Christina Grozek as we discuss the healing powers of sound right here on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with Christina Grozek, and the film is called Going Home. It's beautifully shot, Christina. Before we continue discussing things like Singing Bowls, how do we screen this documentary film?
Yeah, thank you for the kind words. We had a really great team to screen it. You know, it's on several different platforms right now, and unfortunately, these platforms are only U.S.-based, but we are doing screenings outside of the U.S. So I think there's a group, Conscious Action, they're showing the film tomorrow in New Zealand. We've had a couple other groups contact us about that, too, and it will be available overseas here in the next couple of months. But right now it's on different platforms like iTunes, Vimeo, Google Play, YouTube, Xfinity, Vudu. And if somebody wants the complete list, they can always go to our website at goinghomefilm.com, and we update it as our distributor gives us the platform. So they're constantly adding new platforms.
So we were talking about Singing Bowls, mm-hmm. and how they will calm these magnificent giant creatures, elephants, and also we saw the singing bowls having the same effect on horses. They were very curious. They came over to the fence when this person was playing these singing bowls. How do you use singing bowls in your practice?
Yeah, so I do a lot of different modalities with them. So I can do one-on-one, like on the body. So I'll have clients come in and they'll lay on a massage table, and, you know, I place the bowls on the body and play the bowls on the body. So I like to equate that as a massage for your nervous system. You know, our nervous system's always going, sympathetic nervous system's in overdrive, and that can contribute to a lot of health issues. So, you know, stress is linked to high blood pressure, heart disease, anxiety, you know, sleep deprivation, and the list goes on and on. And that's one of the methods that it can use. And then I also do what's called sound healing meditation journeys, or some people call them sound baths or sound journeys, or, you know, there's a lot of different names for them. Basically, it would be a group or an individual coming in and, you know, either sitting down or laying on the floor, whatever is most comfortable for them. And then I use different tools. We do some breathing. We just get settled. And I use different tools like the singing bowls, like a combination of metal and crystal bowls, or drums or chimes or flutes, gongs, and, you know, maybe some vocal toning in there. So there's a lot of different ways that a sound journey can happen and how it can look. That's how I personally do mine. And, you know, some of my favorite instruments that I use or tools. I like to call them tools because they're kind of an extension. You know, we work as a team, so I call them tools. But I've got this, it's a Sacred Heart gong. And, you know, going back to how you were talking about how music impacts you, when I picked up this gong, it's from a gong maker in Rhode Island, and I actually drove to Rhode Island to pick it up. And his name's Sean Aceto, and when I picked it up and he played it, it literally brought me to tears. It was such a beautiful, beautiful sound that just something in me moved, and it brought me to, like, tears of joy. I was overwhelmed with the sound in the best possible way. But, you know, I've seen a lot of things happen with different clients that I've had. I just had a client in the other day. We've been working together for a couple of years. She came in, and she, you know, we did the sound session, and she got up after. She's like, hey, can I just tell you? And normally the process after is, you know, kind of slowly coming back. And she sat up, hey, can I tell you? And I'm like, yes, of course, you know. And she had shared with me that she was experiencing a lot of back pain, and she had had an injury a few weeks prior, and she was seeing a chiropractor. And during that sound session, she said she felt a wave come over her, and she was no longer experiencing that pain. 2 days after, she went to her chiropractor, and she said that she had zero pain, like zero pain at all. So there's a lot of different ways that it can affect people. And really what we're talking about is moving energy through the system. The benefits to it is it's cost, you know, cost effective. It's non-invasive. Like I said, it's a massage for the nervous system. And there's been a lot of things linked to it, like lower blood pressure, reducing stress and muscle stiffness. You know, it really helps with finding clarity and mental focus, aiding in the digestive process, promoting better sleep. And what does all that mean? It just means we're calming the nervous system. So when we calm the body and the mind, because it all works together, everything's connected. So when we can calm everything down, the body tends to take care of itself. But you have to find that state to do it. And it's really hard to do that in today's current society. I mean, you go to the gas station, right? And maybe at the gas station, there's a screen. And when you pick up the pump, you know, to pump your gas, the screen says, hey, if you go inside, we have 99-cent slushies or whatever it is. So it's really hard to find that moment to just find stillness and silence. And that's one of the things that this modality does. It helps bring you there.
Are there certain vibrations or frequencies that, I mean, do you tune the singing bowl or are they manufactured to produce a specific frequency or vibration that we know has this calming effect on the nervous system? Which frequencies work best?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people take the approach that, you know, for example, we've got these energy systems throughout the center of our body, and there's notes assigned to those. And they make different bowls, different singing bowls, whether they're metal or crystal, to accommodate, you know, the different energy systems. So, you know, if somebody's like, oh, you know, I've got this heart blockage. And when I say blockage, I would say to consider thinking, and again, we're talking about energy. So I would consider thinking about the body as like a river. If you think about from the crown of your head to your feet, there's just a river flowing from the top to the bottom, right? And that's really our energetic body. So when you think of it like a river and you think of it flowing, right, a river is beautiful and, you know, it's moving and the energy is moving and it's, you know, vibrant. And that's basically what we are as energetic beings until life happens and situations fall into our path. And then we start to accumulate blockages. So that would be like the twigs and the sticks and everything's like accumulating and all of a sudden the energy isn't moving, the water isn't moving. And then that creates stagnation. And when we have stagnation in water, then we start having water that's not healthy, right? And the same can happen to our body. So we hold on to these situations that happen to us in life. And then these blockages start coming through. So you can use, if someone's like, oh, you know, I've got this, you know, heart thing, or I'm having a tough time speaking my truth, I'm having a tough time being authentic, or, you know, I don't feel grounded. these different energy systems have different notes assigned to them. So yes, to answer your question, there are bulls out there in different hertz for this. The way I approach my practice is I think everyone is a bio-individual. Everyone has their own kind of constitution and what they're bringing with them, right? So I just listen to the room, and then I just play what I feel is appropriate for that situation. So I don't necessarily subscribe to the notes with, you know, playing it for each person, because what will happen sometimes is what resonates for one person doesn't seem to resonate for another. But there is an entire theory based on the hertz and the frequency and the vibration that, you know, for, I can tell you, like, 111, right, hertz supposedly helps with migraines. So if you have a migraine and you pull up something that has the hertz of 111, that is supposed to help with that. But, you know, I can tell you, too, on the same note, I mean, binaural beats, you know, in the Monroe Institute, they've done so much study on it, and I think now they're calling it hemisync, but it's basically entraining the brain. So you can wear this headset, and in one ear you're hearing, you know, one hertz, and then in the other ear, it's about 4 hertz higher than that or lower. There's a difference. So what it does is it balances the brain. It entrains the brain to go into these deeper states. So, you know, that's outside of the realm of what I do, binaural beats. But when I do the sessions with all the different tools, I just take a more organic approach. But yes, there are people that are like, you know, I've got my, and they call them, these energy systems are called chakras. And I know people that are like, I've got my chakra set, and I'm going to use this for the heart, and I'm going to use this one for, you know, the throat, or this one for the root chakra. So there are a lot of different approach to it, depending on the practitioner.
In the film, you go to Colorado, and you meet this very interesting gentleman who is connecting electrodes, I guess, to different parts of, let's say, a cedar tree. One little electrode he clips onto the needles of the cedar, another one down below to the roots, maybe another one on the trunk. And the plant is producing these electrical outputs, I guess. And then he hooks up the tree, basically, to a MIDI machine. Just explain what's happening here. What are we witnessing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his name is Peter May, and he's in the Crestone, Colorado area, and it's fascinating. I was so excited that we were able to connect with him. So that's exactly what you were witnessing, is he takes these electrodes, he hooks them up to different parts of the plant, and then the vibration from the plant will travel through this wire into this device, which you had referred to as a MIDI machine, and then it generates a sound. So there's a sound that's assigned to that certain channel. And then the plant, every time there's like a vibration coming through the plant, it goes through this wire and it translates that into a sound that we can hear, a sound that we can take in. And he composes all kinds of music. He's got different albums out there based on this. And what's so interesting is he does these concerts, and you can never guarantee. We did a talk not too long ago, and all the participants were like glued to it, and they're like just waiting. And, you know, he hooked up one of the plants, and, you know, they're like, oh, well, when's it going to sing? I mean, you know, you can't force the plant. It's going to sing when it's ready to, you know. And when I say sing, the vibratory, you know, pattern of it is going to come through. The vibration of it is going to travel through the wire in a way that we can hear it, in an audible way. So I know through his research, what he's found is like younger plants have this very like playful sound, like a higher sound. And then he's done work with redwoods. So like the older trees, right? They have this very low tone to them. It's very low and steady and balanced. So it's really interesting just to see how he's done this. And, you know, I think with him too, like he found silence through using sound as well, which is really cool. But I love his work, and it's so fascinating. It's such a cool journey to speak with him.
Right. So plants are producing music. They're creating music. What would be the purpose of that? Why are they doing that?
Yeah, well, I mean, everything's energy. Everything's energy. Everything is vibrating. So it is creating music. And, you know, there's, because of the MIDI machine, we can hear it. But it's creating it whether we can hear it or not. So, you know, everything, every word, every thought, every action we have, everything, the plants, the water, everything has a vibration to it. Whether we can take it in a way that we know how to process it or not, there's a vibration to it. Everything is alive. Everything has energy to it. So, yes, the plants are creating music, and there's that device that we can actually hear it, but they're still creating music whether we can hear it or not. And the same thing goes in so many ways. I mean, even your words, the words we say. So I know there's been, you know, different examples of plants, you know, like when you talk to plants or you sing to plants or you treat them kindly, they tend to grow, right, and flourish. And when not so much, then they don't. So our words have power to them. Our intention, all of it is energy. We are co-creating this world. So when we choose every single word we say, every single thought, every single action, we have a choice in helping to co-create the world that we want to see. So it's important to step back and consider what we are putting into the world, because it matters. The energy, the intention, the vibration, it matters. So it's not just that it matters to you and I, it matters as a collective, because all of that energy is shared collectively, and it's creating the world we want to see. So something as simple as just changing your words, like the words you're using, right? And increasing your vibration. So if someone says, I don't know really how to do that, well, you can change the words you're using. Consider changing that. So this past year, we saw what a lot of people would say, wow, this is a challenge. This year was so hard. And I'm not saying it wasn't, but maybe we look at it instead of saying, ah, that was such a challenge. Maybe we say, wow, you know what? This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to maybe change the way I was doing things, or to find a new hobby, or to do this, or if something's a struggle. I mean, I'm sure we all know that person that every time you talk to them and you're like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, oh, you know, this is going on and that's going on. And, you know, it kind of drains you after you talk to them, right? But if they change it to say, well, yeah, you know what, this is a struggling time, but I am going to embrace it as an adventure. Or if somebody says, well, I can't do that. Well, you know what, how about embracing your power and saying, you know what, I am choosing not to do that. Because your words hold a vibration, and that vibration is power. And the same with the plants, and the same with the water. It's all connected. Everything is connected. And when we see the world through the lens of energy, and we see, you know, that certain environments make us feel a certain way, certain songs make us feel a certain way, right? It's a vibration. It's an exchange of energy. So it's really important to consider what sounds you are putting out there. And then what
excellent point
you're taking in too.
All right. We're heading into a break, Christina. When we come back, we'll talk about Edgar Cayce and his views on vibrations. Out of 14,000 readings, 2,000 of them approximately had to do with this very subject, vibrations. Edgar Cayce, what did he make of all of this? That's upcoming with Christina Grozek, the producer of the documentary film Going Home, about the healing powers of sound, right here on Coast to Coast AM.